Hacking, data, and identity theft are causing devastating problems. Globex Data is the solution for privacy and security in the digital world. Switzerland has the world's strictest privacy laws, and Globex Data's Swiss-hosted platform is outside of big tech with no data mining. Globex Data is now launching in the USA, offering email and messaging privacy and security to all Americans. Globex Data Limited, stock trading symbol SWISF. Web address, globexdatagroup.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Peter Berkowitz, the Tad and Diane Taub Senior Fellow at the Hoover Institution, formerly Director of Policy Planning at the U.S. State Department, writing at Real Clear Politics, following the heartbreaking withdrawal from Afghanistan. Lessons learned. What is to be done? Peter, a very good evening to you. Your first measure is that foreign policy analysis is now falling into trading blocks, realist versus idealist versus isolationist versus interventionist, nationalist, globalist, etc. What can we do with this willingness of many very, very sharp people to divide foreign policy up as if it was a birthday cake? Good evening to you, Peter.
Good evening, John. The first thing we can do is reject those rigid and hidebound dichotomies. Who doesn't want to see the world as it really is? We all ought to begin with a hard-headed understanding of nation states' interests, of the logic of the geopolitical chessboard. But that in no way should preclude us from appreciating the ways in which culture and tradition shape perceptions. And we should never forget that, especially as Americans, we're dedicated to the proposition that all human beings are bearers of inherent rights. We should not be compelled to choose between these two ways of thinking. And just very quickly, nor should we be compelled to choose between being isolationists or interventionists, of course. We must put America's interests first, but America has an interest in a free and open international order. We need to debate what kinds of actions America takes abroad, and we need to recognize that while the nation state is the proper fundamental political unit, we have an interest in acting overseas. And then we start the debate rather than trapping ourselves at one pole or the other.
Promoting democracy. Promoting freedom. What's the difference, Peter?
There's a big difference, and we use those two synonymously, especially if you're in the Middle East, especially if you rule over a non-democratic regime. Promoting democracy means to you regime change, and you're going to resist. Whereas freedom, the reason it represents regime change is that democracy means electing your leaders in fair and competitive elections in cycles, whereas freedom is a political good that can be, which you can experience more of or less of. And you can actually, within an authoritarian regime, promote more freedom of the press, more education for girls, more religious liberty, a more independent judiciary. So whereas promoting democracy almost automatically means regime change, advancing freedom means something that can be done in small, measured steps.
About democracy, Peter, that has become a flash word. Was it always that way, at least since the Second War and the end of empires? Or is this a recent phenomenon that democracy is a target?
Well, of course. This is a result of the Bush administration and the way in which critics interpreted the Bush administration's democracy promotion and freedom agenda. But it used to be recognized by both sides of the political aisle in the United States, and it should be recognized again that the United States has an interest in more free and democratic nations. And the crucial question is, what means, what capabilities do we have for promoting such a world?
We come to a puzzle, and the puzzle is advancing freedom. The United States has a very powerful military and a very sophisticated State Department and lots of resources, but it is hard to admit that we failed advancing freedom. What does that teach us about ourselves?
It teaches us a couple things about ourselves. One, we have to understand with greater precision what it is within our capabilities to do abroad. But that requires us to understand other peoples and their cultures and their traditions. John Agresto, writing in commentary almost a decade ago, urged us to make a distinction between the profound American conviction that every human being deserves freedom, one proposition, and second proposition, that all human beings desire freedom. Agresto argued, and I think persuasively, and he knew wherever he spoke. He spent almost a decade in Iraq trying to standing up a university there. He argued it's not true that all human beings, although they deserve it, desire freedom. Some prefer to live under the supremacy of religious law. Some people have customs and traditions that don't conduce to recognizing not only one's own freedom, but the freedom of others. So the United States has to take very seriously this distinction. All deserve freedom, but not all peoples at this particular moment desire it.
Peter, you recommend one way to respond to the heartbreak of Afghanistan is to respect other people's cultures. Here's the puzzle for me. Other people's cultures can and often do include cruelty, and it's unacceptable in this 21st century to see cruelty and realize that we could have done something. This is going on in Afghanistan right now. There's a report of a girls' soccer team from Herat is trying to evacuate as many members as possible and their families because they know they will be persecuted if they continue. And some of them have gone to Italy. So how do we respect a culture that won't let young women play soccer?
Well, really, our first duty here is to understand cultures. After we are committed to the principle that all people deserve freedom, once we understand other cultures better, we will acquire a better grasp of what is within our powers, given our limited means, limited understanding, and scarce resources, what it is we can do in any particular region of the world to promote freedom. We may come to the sometimes heartbreaking conclusion that there's little within our power, but that means that we really have to do our homework better in the State Department, in the Defense Department, citizens, experts who analyze these matters, in understanding better the language, the history, the culture, and that means the languages of people around the world, so we can make these difficult decisions more responsibly.
I want to stay with Afghanistan because it's right in front of us right now, and the reporting is frightening about what may be happening. I don't have confirmation. What is the American public to take from this experience, that for 20 years we spent treasure and blood to establish a credible and landscape for young people to prosper in, and now it's gone back to darkness visible? What do we make from this about our foreign policy today?
Well, here's one lesson, that we make a distinction that the Biden administration not only failed to make, but obscured. It's not true to say, especially of the last several years, that the United States' primary mission in Afghanistan was nation building. Years before, we set that aside as our primary mission. In recent years, our primary mission has been a counterterrorism mission to prevent the state of Afghanistan from collapsing and allowing a Taliban takeover. The United States, in these last months before the complete withdrawal, had a mere thousands of soldiers in Afghanistan. Their primary mission was to collect intelligence and provide air cover so the Afghan National Army could successfully oppose the Taliban. What we need to learn is to state clearly what our objectives are, and we need to understand that while we made mistakes with nation building, the United States continued to have a proper counterterrorism mission in Afghanistan at a relatively little cost. We could have persisted in that mission.
The fifth recommendation in your Real Clear Politics piece is about how we educate our own people. Right now, what I would say is it's a mystery to me what young people in universities and high schools are learning about the traditions and the sacrifices and the meaning of 240 years of history. Have we failed, Peter? Can we start again?
I think we are in the process of failing, and our capacity to start again, on our capacity to start again, depends, I believe, the future of the nation. Everything I've said about freedom and democracy will fall on deaf ears if our young people are not educated to understand what are America's fundamental principles and how has our constitutional tradition over the centuries managed to secure an all but unprecedented freedom, prosperity, toleration, and pluralism for the United States of America. I worry that our young people will not be in a position to understand even why it's in the U.S. interest to support a free and open international order that is more conducive to free and democratic nations.
Peter Berkowitz is the Tad and Diane Taub Senior Fellow at the Hoover Institution on Stanford University's campus. He served as Director of Policy Planning at the U.S. State Department and the Trump Administration. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.